Very good. We interrupt our regularly scheduled program to bring you this very important message. Beep. Christmas, a time of year that is often celebrated with fun, fellowship, food, and the giving of gifts to those that we have an appreciation for, right? Without hesitation, we change the ambiance around us by decorating with lights, ribbons, and the occasional candy dishes filled with our favorite candy, except for in this house. I sure am missing my Reese's Pieces or my Reese's Cup. But traditions from our childhoods are lived out, and they're passed along with developing our very own for our children and for our grandchildren. Many of you have had traditions as you were growing up. For some, it's another year blessed to have the patriarch and the matriarch with you, but still present while you're celebrating the season. But for others, there's a kind of a joy and sorrow because there's not one, theirs is not here. I know for me it's that way, neither my mom or dad. But there's a joy and sorrow that emanates from this time of year that's known as Christmas. And if you did a Google search of the etymology, what is that? Anybody?
The study of words.
The study of words. The origin of a word and the historical development of its meaning. So see, now you guys can never go out here and say, I didn't know what etymology was. But if you did a Google search of that, it'll tell you that essentially what it means is Christ Mass. Okay? But it's interesting because in the Spanish, the word Mass means more. And so essentially, it means more Christ. And it was fun when I was in Los Baños because it was predominantly Hispanic. And I told them, for us Hispanics here, Mass and Christmas, it's more Christ. And everybody cheered because they were Spanish. But this Christmas season, especially in the West where we live, it's a mix of pre-Christian, Christian, and secular traditions as well. Christmas is a time of spiritual reflection on the important foundation of the Christian faith, but it's also a celebration. It's when Christians celebrate God's love for the world through the birth of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us of his birth hundreds of years before, fulfilling prophecies. And although people worldwide celebrate Christ's birth on December 25th, it's very likely that he was born on a different month and a different day. Oh, that's a whole other different debate. But the truth of the matter is, he wasn't born on December 25th. The church in the 4th century chose December 25th as it coordinated with the solstice on the Roman calendar. And that's how that came about to be. And so, for Christians, the true meaning of Christmas is the celebration of the Savior Jesus Christ. And we know that through belief in Christ, that we are sons and daughters of God. And heaven will one day be our home as well. Are we looking forward to that? Absolutely. But perhaps this will help you to look at Christmas, this Christmas season, differently this year. A chance to truly take in the wonder and the awe of the season. I've entitled this message, Christmas, a Sufferer's Holiday. Because that's truly what it is. More than just a little cliche of Jesus is the reason for the season, but in fact, Jesus suffered for the world's sake. Jesus came into the world as a baby for the express purpose to suffer a death that would be remembered, but not celebrated by everyone. And so we observe this holiday. We must remember that it is a holiday for sufferers, for those of you who are grieving. The Lord knows it's a sufferer's holiday. He suffered for you and for me and the whole world, and he gave each and every one of us salvation through his death. Now, traditionally, the Christmas story is told in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 4 through 19. But I want to go a little further with this message and include other passages as well. So I've enlisted some readers to help me make this event come alive in our hearts as we look at Christmas, a sufferer's holiday. Jennifer, would you begin on Luke 1, 26?
Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One is to be born will be called the Son of God." And that's as far as you want to
go. Amen. Yes, thank you. I want us to think about those verses just for a minute. Just as in our times of great wonder, Lord, how am I going to get through this? Have you ever felt that way? How am I going to get through this? But we too can hear the words of the angel, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you." That just blesses my heart. See, the sufferer has come to overshadow the pain and the heartache that we will experience in our lives if we'll just let him. He'll overtake that suffering if we'll let him. And you say, "But Al, how can you be so sure of that?" Because this event, the event of this holiday, that he is come, he has already come. And he said that he will come again. Now, I've used some, put some lyrics for you in there. You can sing along if you like. First song is Emmanuel.
Just like you said, Lord, you are near. Just like you promised, Lord, you are near. Emmanuel. Emmanuel.
The sufferer's holiday is God is now with us. And we can take stock in that fact because he is here. He's here with us. And he brings us cause to rejoice. And I love how Mary pondered this in what is known as the Song of Mary.
And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He has, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her for another 3 months and returned to her house.
Amen. We just can't even imagine just reading those words and trying to make them come off the page. And I want to stop here just for a second and to allow this song to help us to see this teenage girl, what she's trying to communicate in her prayer. This is not in your song sheet, but I want us to just meditate on it if you don't mind. Listen to the words.
Thank you.
And you just picture her just sitting there, just reaching out, saying, breath of heaven. Think about that in our times when we need that from him. Mary, during her visit with Elizabeth, she rejoices in what God is doing in and through her. But what if I told you that God is still doing that in our midst today? His mercy has always been upon us, and that is why he sent his son, his only son, to us. How often do we just sit and take time to ponder his marvelous work in and through our lives each and every day? Do we take the time, even if it's one thing that you could look at in the midst of your pain and sorrow, and remember the sufferer who came into the world? And now in our message, it's time. It's time for the suffering servant to come into the world for all mankind. Lorelei, would you read?
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in strips of cloth and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Amen. Thank you. What child is this?
Child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet.
Suffering King has arrived on the earth as a baby, not quite the way that they would have imagined that God would make his presence with us. He arrives, and some of the common people of the era come to make themselves known and to observe. And Janet, would you read your portion?
Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come past, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at all those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart.
Amen. Amen.
Oh,
Amen. You know, I've always loved verse 19 because I can just picture Mary keeping those things close in her heart and pondering them or weighing them. The word weighing, some of your translations have, is an English translation of our word pondering from the Latin pondere. It means she carefully weighed every circumstance that was relative to her son's birth. And Mary treasured up in her memory. Have you ever just sat and placed yourself in her shoes, ladies? Have you ever, as you're reading that text, have you ever sat there and wondered what was that like for her? What she must have gone through? Ruthie will read that part for us.
Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before Christ he had seen, not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's mother and father marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too."
Amen. Simeon, who it says was a devout and a just man, but even that would not be enough for him. He needed to see the salvation of God. He needed to see the baby Jesus. And he states in verse 30, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." And that's awesome. But look at the pronouncement in verse 31, "which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And I think about that as we've been studying the book of Acts. We see this very thing come alive, don't we? And I love how God's word is his best commentary. Studying in Acts, and here Luke, of course, who wrote Acts, is writing here the very thing, even so far back, regarding Gentiles being able to have salvation. And I love that. Here is that prophecy that is being given to them from the Jewish man who believed that Jesus would be God's answer to salvation. He didn't want to die until he saw God's salvation. So in those verses, he blesses the family, but he also gives Mary another prophecy, and he gives it to her personally. It doesn't include Joseph. Verse 34, "Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which he will be spoken against.'" Verse 35, "And yes, the sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." It's believed that Joseph was already deceased at this time. I mean, at the time of the crucifixion, so he's not included in that prophecy. And that's one of the reasons why Mary is addressed alone. But Mary, no doubt, could feel the pain and the heartache of watching her son have a Roman sword pierced through his heart while he was on the cross. And this is what that is speaking of. And she would also see the suffering that Jesus would go through. And I'm certain that she would hear Simeon's words as she was watching that some 33 years later. You might ask, Al, why are you going this route today? Why are we looking at the birth of Christ into the world? It's Christmas time. Why aren't we looking at that? Why are you looking at the suffering saint? Well, tell me, doesn't life just seem to pass us by? Doesn't it just fly by? And the question I have for us today is, do we really know all that Jesus has done for us by his coming? I was sitting here as we were singing those last two songs, I was do a little math here, and I realized when I was 8, 56 years ago, we were singing these songs in the third grade at a little pageant that we were doing. And I can remember singing those songs out loud. And many of you did that as well in school. And so it's kind of weird when we look at it and we see how fast time flies by. But Mary, no doubt, as she sees she's raising her baby, how time is going to fly by. From the day that this prophecy was laid upon her and she laid him in the manger to the time that the prophecy would actually take place. And just as many of us as parents in here tonight, do we truly see all that God is doing in our midst? Do we see what he's trying to point out to us? If you can picture Mary, that little baby in her arms, she had no idea.
Baby boy would someday walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you soon deliver you. Mary, did you know your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where
every time I hear that song, just picturing her. And the reason that Simeon gave Mary that prophecy was because of the end of verse 35, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. The suffering king came into the world for one purpose, and that was to bring salvation to anyone who would believe on him. This was God's plan from the very beginning of creation, and it was to bring to us at this time, through a virgin child, the sufferer's holiday. And many today will go about their usual Christmas holiday rituals, fulfilling traditions, but may we truly remember why he came. See, our hearts reveal what is in them by the manner of speech that we have during this holiday. Will it be about Jesus, or will it be something else? One writer says, we felt as if our Christmas was being canceled last year. Actually, our flight to see family in Missouri was canceled due to snow. It's been our tradition for quite a few years to celebrate Christmas with them. And so we were greatly disappointed when we only got as far as Minnesota and had to return home to Michigan. On Sunday, in a message we would have missed, our pastor spoke about expectations for Christmas. He caught my attention when he said, if our expectations for Christmas are gifts and time with family, we have set our expectations too low. Those are enjoyable and things that we're thankful for, but Christmas is the celebration of the coming of Christ and his redemption. We may experience disappointments or heartache during the Christmas season, but Jesus and his salvation always gives us reason to celebrate. The fact that we are saved and we are going to heaven should give us reason to celebrate. And for those who grieve, this is the very same child that we celebrate this Christmas time who's given you hope for all eternity. For he was born to suffer. He was born to suffer for our sake. And he's not forgotten us. And may we see this Suffer's Holiday as an extension of his love for us. See, Jesus is more than just the reason for the season. He's the Alpha and he's the Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end of it. Amen? I uncovered this little ditty when you think about what the power of Jesus, what the power of God can do. According to tradition, a Christmas song once brought peace to a battlefield. It happened on Christmas Eve during the Franco-German War, 1870-1871. As the two sides faced each other in their trenches, a French soldier jumped up and began singing, "O Holy Night." The surprised German soldiers did not fire. Instead, one of them stepped forward to sing, "From heaven above to earth I come." And for a brief time, at least, peace on earth prevailed and goodwill was shared among men whose job it was to kill each other. The suffering servant came at this time. He was born a baby, and that's what we celebrate. But he came for a specific purpose. And if he could do that on a battlefield, can you imagine what he can do where you are right now or where I am in life? Let's sing that song, O Holy Night. Bless you, Lord.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. Long lay the world in sin and error.
can assure you that soldier did not sound like that. Lord, we thank you, for you are near, Lord. We thank you that in the midst, Lord, of our trials and our troubles, Lord, you're still there for us, because in our